Good evening. Welcome to the Solera Report. Today is Thursday, September 14th, 2017. I'm Catherine Austin Fitz, and I'm delighted you could join me this evening. Events. Next up, the Nexus Conference in Aspen from September 21st to 23rd. The focus will be on cryptocurrencies. Interestingly enough, when we did the Solera Report earlier this year on Bitcoin, the total market cap for all cryptocurrencies was $35 billion. Coming into Labor Day, it was approaching $200 billion. On September 1st, Bitcoin priced at a high of $4,950. Today, it's $3,229. That's down 35% in 2 weeks. So if you'd put $100 in on September 1st, you would have $65. How about that in 2 weeks? So as I said, it's a speculative market. It's got wild swings. If the swings are even more wild, it's going to be a very interesting conference. You can thank the Chinese for that. They announced they're going to shut down the Bitcoin exchanges, not stop OTC trading. So that puts quite a damper since the biggest volume was in China. Our theme tonight is the race between the U.S. official debt and the missing money is neck and neck. The official debt statistic crossed $20 trillion, or so it was announced this week. So far, the undocumentable adjustments are $18 trillion, and that's only counting two of 21 agencies. So my guess is as Dr. Skidmore and his team keep counting, we're going to undocumentable adjustments are going to pull in the lead. Globally, the debt is now 325% of world GDP, rising to $217 trillion. Very interestingly enough, the BIS working paper this summer says it's time to focus on financing with equity, not debt. You've heard that here before. Anyway, I keep focusing on the $18 trillion of undocumentable adjustments. It's a very different story with that on the table than off the table in terms of policy and what happens. Market review dollar, U.S. dollar now trading at 91.89. It's still through the 92 line, but I still don't consider this yet a serious break. There's been a lot of fear porn about the dollar's about to collapse, all of which, from everything I can see, is complete hooey. The U.S. dollar is still dangerous and dominant. The chance of losing reserve currency status in 2017 are insignificant. I put up a link from Martin Armstrong, who I often disagree with, but he makes a compelling case for the strong dollar, and I think it's worth reading. The dollar is still the vast majority of global reserves. There's no other place for them to go. Yes, it's declining. And yes, the dollar is weakening, and so is the U.S. brand in the world. The North Korea drama continues with North Korea sending another missile over Japan. Remember, North Korea is not in the BIS system. The U.S. has been really putting it to China, and China has indicated it's going along with the new sanctions, but we see a new report, Mnuchin threatening to cut China out of the SWIFT system if it violates North Korea's sanctions. Not surprisingly, immediately after that, we see China saying that they're going to issue $2 billion in new bonds denominated with the dollar. I think part of what's got everybody spooked is the Stanley Fischer resignation. Stanley Fischer was the vice chairman of the Fed. It is a very significant resignation coming in the middle of the term. The vacancies on the Fed are now significant. There are four. I think people are afraid of taking responsibility in this environment. Nobody wants to be the fall guy. And they're not so much afraid of the general population as the Midianite thing, that is the establishments fighting and killing each other. But I'm sure they're increasingly afraid of other people. People are, you know, too many people are connecting the dots to the corruption at the system level. So I always quote my old partner used to say, when we get together to rob a bank, we need to tell the scared guys to go home. So one of the scared guys just went home. Fixed income, the TLT, the long treasury ETF, is now up 8.24%. So interest rates are up a little bit. That's backed off about 2 points. Since 2 weeks ago, the intermediate up 3.85, the bond aggregate up 3.5, and junk up 3.86. So that's still a respectable performance for fixed income, much better than we expected this year. Turning to equities, the S&P now up almost 13% for the year, so it's bounced back up. Home builders up 15.25%. The European ETF now up 23.4%. And Germany up almost exactly the same at 23%. The developed market minus North America up 20%. China, large caps up 23.25%. The small caps up 31.75%. So stronger performance of the small cap, as you would expect when the market's headed up. And also the small cap reflects more technology. And EEM, the emerging markets ETF, now up 30%. So China small caps have finally passed through emerging markets. Emerging markets have been the star so far. Hugh Hendry, one of the star bear hedge fund managers, very well known and very well liked for his very pungent and interesting commentary, has announced the closing of his eclectic fund, saying, "What a quote, what if I was to tell you I wasn't bearish on anything? Is that something you would be interested in?" You know, he has performed very well in bear markets, and it's really hard to make money because there's, other than oil, there's not really a bear market. If you read his message, is the commentary that he published, it's really interesting. Basically, what he's killed is by low yields, low volatility, expensive regulation, and an AI-trided manipulated market where basically the only way to make money is sort of follow along with the Federal Reserve or the central banks or have inside information. Commodities down, now down, the commodity index down 4.75%. Gold is doing very well. It's up 15.10%. Silver up 10.99%. And oil still in the doghouse, despite all the help from Harvey, down 17.69%. I can see from the comments that I'm getting by email and also on the website that everyone is getting a lesson in weather warfare. I think we've passed the point where we can pretend this stuff is entirely natural, and there's just too much science to argue that something's going on. Needless to say, whether Harvey and Irma were natural or not, it's a natural disaster under federal, or it's a national disaster declared by national under federal law. So that is an opportunity to turn on the federal spigot with no transparency. I think the spigot is pouring things out, money out, and the disaster capitalism will be very bad. Expect a lot of economic cleansing, the poor cleaned out of a lot of places, land grabbed. That's typically the pattern, and I think every indication is the same thing is going to happen here. It's the poor whose homes are destroyed without home and flood insurance, and so they become easy to move off. We're increasingly looking at these kinds of life and death issues. I wanted to bring up just I don't usually like to sort of scare people, but I'm going to scare you now. There are three people missing in my county recently, including a 13-year-old girl who disappeared from her school. It was today or yesterday. Last night, there was an Alpha Alert in Memphis as I was driving home, a stolen child, albeit was stolen by a relative. So if you look at this pattern, the missing people has been happening much longer, and it's been much deeper than most people have faced or admitted. But if you look at the pattern I'm just watching here, if it turns out to be duplicated across the country, it's not a good sign. Unfortunately, the deep state needs a variety of people for a variety of reasons, which I suspect is why missing people have been a problem for a while. But if you have kids or grandkids or just young people in your family, because it's much more inclined to happen to people under 40, I think it's good to travel in pairs and not be alone and know where people are and keep tabs on people. So just, I'm going to keep watching for a pattern, and if I start to see a national pattern, I'll say something. But I think it's just, it's a real time to be cautious. I've had a lot of dialogue with different subscribers and readers over the last 2 weeks, and I wanted to report. I've put up several commentaries in response to the concerns I've been reading about. One person wrote in and said, listen, monuments, these Confederate monuments have to be very offensive to African Americans, and you're not being sensitive based on some of the things I said in Charlottesville. So I wrote a commentary. I just want to read you an excerpt. During this experience of over 6 decades, I've heard friends and colleagues who are African Americans repeatedly express many life and death concerns. Targeting of their children in a neighborhood with narcotics trafficking, targeting themselves, their families, and neighborhoods with aggressive or illegal enforcement, systematic degradation and absence of resources from the public schools, high crime rates in their neighborhood, targeting by predatory lending practices and mortgage fraud, use of tax dollars to fund illegal or corrupt activities, use of federal programs designed to help their communities used instead for political pork, federal, state, and local corruption that lowers their life expectancy and reduces their opportunities. Vaccine injury is a result of serious ethical violations of the FDA related to suppression of data related to African-American children, false imprisonment, and malicious prosecution. Actually, the list of legitimate complaints for the African-American community is much longer, as well as other low-income communities in America. In all 60 years, I've never once heard a complaint, even a thought about statues or monuments. If you're worried about statue and monuments, then you're not worried about life and death issues. But what you need to know that people under real stress are worried about life and death issues. And if you look at wherever you are and whatever you're doing, real stress is headed your way. So I would really suggest that we all focus on life and death issues, because there's only so much time in the day. And I really struggle to find a way to explain in a Christian way to anybody who's super concerned about monuments that they need to get concerned about life and death issues. I also put up a commentary called Allergic to Numismatic Coins that explains why some people have been sending in videos from a commentator who basically is working for and marketing for a firm that promotes numismatics and is a commentator who promotes numismatics. Franklin Sanders wrote an article called What is a Numismatic Coin? What the Law Really Says and Why You Should Not Buy Them. So let me just quote his definition. The loosely used popular definition of a numismatic coin is one that collectors will pay a premium for. When used as numismatic versus bullion coin, people usually mean a collector's coin versus a coin sold for a small premium over its metal value. The first is an investment in a coin, never mind its precious metals content. The second is an investment in silver or gold, never mind that it's a coin. If someone is aggressively marketing numismatic coins, it's Larry, we do not post any of such marketers' articles and interviews. So there's a history, and in this I explain the history. And then when I first started learning about precious metals, the best dealers I found were adamant that numismatics are inferior investments. Two reasons are primary. One, the commissions are outrageously high. Two, the premise behind numismatics is unsound, that they are safe in the event of confiscation, justifying the commissions that the dealers earn and the confiscation of private precious metals holding is likely. Okay, so I got an email from a subscriber, very interesting email, describing a sophisticated marketing by this very firm who I keep getting people sending me their videos and saying, won't you post? And I keep emailing and saying, no. I'm not posting this. In many cases, it's because the information isn't accurate and well done. But in addition, they're marketing numismatics. So no, I'm not going to post it. So I get an email from this subscriber who describes a very sophisticated marketing effort by this firm, which was kind of spooky. And I took everybody's name off and sent it to Franklin. Franklin came back with stories about the same dealer. He said, a friend dealer bought me a case from 2015-16 where they gutted a widow, turning $215,000 into $95,000. Marked up numismatics from 1.5 to 2.7. So that's 150% to 200% compared to 3.5 to 1.5% for bullion dealers. Can you imagine? So if a bullion dealer marks $100 of metal from 100 to 101.50, they're marketing it, up to 200, 300, if you can imagine that. Another fried customer called recently to compare their prices, 165% markup, 1.65 times. So all these, Franklin says, all these people ought to be horsewhipped and their backs rubbed with salt. One of the things you hear in their presentations and a lot of the fear porn is the quote-unquote the global reset. It's like there's a big bang out there, and if you don't get everything taken care of before the big bang, you're going to be just destroyed. And so you have to do whatever it is they're marketing, and you have to do it soon, because otherwise you're going to be left out at the big global reset. You know, the last time I had a big knockdown, drag-out fight about the big global reset was in June of 2014, when everybody's saying, oh, the dollar's going to collapse and disappear tomorrow, there's going to be the big global reset, I said, no, the dollar's going to rise. That's when Greg Hunter and I had a knockdown, drag-out fight, and I made him bet me a dollar, which, of course, I won. The dollar proceeded to go up 30% for the rest of the year, so it was quite remarkable. So don't fall for this. The global reset, you know, if there's a big reset on the dollar, the global reset has been underway for 20 years. It's called the financial coup d'etat. And it's going on every day, and it's happening every day, and it's not some big bang thing in the future. It's, you know, it's an incremental thing. Now, given the politics, could big bang things happen? Of course they could happen. Because when you have this many people in the establishment, up to this much centralization, this much fighting, and the thing is, it's nuts, as nuts it is anything can happen. But if you're waiting for the Big Bang global reset, you're missing the whole event, you know, because it's a 50-year creeping global reset. And remember, just because the system is throwing us overboard doesn't mean the system is going to collapse. Remember, the system is protecting us by throwing us overboard. Okay, so there were a couple things. Those were two things I posted in commentaries. There's a couple things I want to cover that I didn't post in commentaries, which I think are equally important. One was, let me just recap on that. Please do not buy numismatic coins. And if you're going to buy precious metals, for heaven's sakes, only use credible dealers. And then, you know, check the prices with multiple dealers and make sure you're getting, you know, the best pricing in terms of premium to melt value. The melt value is, you know, is clearly described by the spot price. So if you're buying a 1 ounce coin and the spot price is, you know, 1500, then your melt value is 1500. And so you want to pay the closest to melt value you can get. I could have made the theme this week, there's life and death and the power of the tongue. I got an email with a question about Cynthia McKinney, which I would say really was building up to a smear. Now, I don't think the person who sent it meant it, but I think they were being influenced and affected by people who were. And I just want to warn everybody. Let me read you a section of what I wrote the person. When prosecutors want to target and frame an innocent person who is a private citizen, not a government employee, they sometimes depend on smear campaigns to create the illusion that someone is breaking a criminal statute. The criminal statutes related to your message are the, quote, material support laws created after 9/11. A private citizen can be prosecuted for association with a group even when they were not involved in any illegal activities, intended no illegal activities, and the connection is incidental. For example, I'm invited to speak at a conference by Harry. Harry has a brother who's in group XYZ who also attends the conference. Somebody takes a picture of me speaking with Harry and his brother. Bam. My enemies use that picture to frame me as providing material support to XYZ. Indeed, they can even be designated for assassination without any indictment or due process. If you look at the criminal statutes that your email was alluding to, this is very dangerous stuff. The people who would end freedom are using social media and online systems to build up to mobbing and smearing that can lead to real harm and even death. I did not mean to shock you, however, I want you to understand you had crossed a line that was dangerous for you and all concerned, so please be careful. So before you start, the libel laws are very different for a politician, a famous person, government. Whenever government money or shared money is involved, the liabilities are very, very different than if it's a private party. And so you need to be very, very careful because there are a lot of people interested in using dirty tactics to hurt people. And I think we're in an environment where you need to be very, very careful. I got another one. It's sort of, you know, let's attack McKinney week, which doesn't surprise me. She's in the United States basically doing a great job of leading a conversation about what we need to do. Let me just read a section from the letter I sent on this. I want you to hear one thing that I'm saying that I believe you do not yet understand. I would not understand it myself if I had not spent years and millions researching our economy on a pro forma basis at the local level, including the covert flows and covert control on financial manipulations. I have profound disagreements with most people on the progressive or traditionally democratic side. What I've discovered is that those disagreements are almost meaningless as a practical matter if we can agree on sound finances run in accordance with the law. I used to be on a listserv with a wonderful community organizer in Ohio. When we spoke about political and economic philosophy, we disagreed completely, even falling into verbal blows. However, when we faced the issue of what to do in a community faced with limited time and limited resources, we agreed 90% of the time or better. If government money was run according to the law and we had paper ballot systems, it would be relatively easier to figure the to argue the rest out, especially if we are free to optimize on a local basis. It's a similar story to what I've told the blacks and whites where I live. If you could just make sure the money is managed lawfully, you could hate each other rich instead of hating each other poor. The people who manage things spend trillions figuring out how to manipulate us. They are manipulating us on conceptual and abstract issues that keep them in charge of the real power lines. If someone is committed to sound money and legal government finances and voting systems that have integrity, we can get something done. And then we can bicker about all the other issues as free people instead of slaves. Lots of people spouting free market philosophy that aligns with mine. Most of them are being financed by $18 trillion stolen from the U.S. government. They have no objections. And many of them intend to see you and me with chips mind controlled depending on digital money that can be turned on and off. Every one of us that is pro-human need to work together towards freedom. So what I'm telling you is, if you can get a political agreement on, one, enforcing the Constitution, two, running the money in accordance with constitutional laws and financial management laws, and three, it would be great to have paper ballots, an honest voting system. If you can agree on that, all those other disagreements are almost irrelevant, because all of those can get sorted out remarkably through the democratic process. And so you can think you have very radical conceptual or abstract or philosophical disagreements with somebody, but if they're willing to, especially as brave and fearless as McKinney has been about the missing money and sex slave trafficking and the core constitutional issues, the dual citizenship, the war powers, that's what we need to agree on. We need to agree on the things that are really, really important in terms of corralling the system. And then all these other issues can be, can be dealt with in the democratic process. And, you know, disagreement is healthy. I think you really, really want to be focused on what's important and not lost in the weeds, which I see many, many people in the political process doing. And of course, that's the goal of the divide and conquer. Okay, controlled demolitions continue. We see a new announcement today from Sacramento that CalPERS is turning off two other towns who've been defaulting on their pensions. And then, this is really funny, Amazon Watch. Amazon has been turning off all the one-star reviews of Hillary Clinton's book. It's really funny. They've deleted over 1,000 one-star reviews. Her book now has a high rating when this was reported. I think it's got like 490 five-star reviews and then 7 low-star reviews. So it's basically all 5-star reviews, and Amazon has deleted over 1,000 one-star reviews. It's like, wow, it doesn't get more blatant than that. Anyway, so I just this week bought a whole series of supplement products from Radiant Living Center. And there once I used to buy through Amazon, so I bought them through Radiant Living Center. And they came today in a package with an invoice, and written on the invoice was as follows. Dear Catherine, what an honor to have you as a client. I saw your name and thought, oh, Catherine Fitz, interesting coincidence. And then I saw Soleri. We love your shows and Joseph's. Thanks so much for putting yourself on the line to get the truth out. Wishing you the very best. Love, Penelope. So, it's great. You know, I never got a note like that from Amazon, so I'm enjoying the process of trying to work my way out of Amazon. Conservatives are having a hissy fit because Trump made a deal with the Democrats on the Dreamers and sort of giving up on the wall for now. The reality is the Republicans have consistently refused to give Trump a majority, and Trump's a let's make a deal guy, so now he's doing business with the Democrats so he can get things done. That's the reality of the numbers, and if you're a conservative and don't like that, then you ought to get all the Republicans together and persuade them to give Trump a majority. The reality is democracy is a sausage factory. Trump can either function this system as it exists or leave, and that's how it is. You know, it's a sausage factory, so if you want to play to win in the sausage factory, get in the trenches and, you know, bang the Republicans upside the head and get them to go along. Our hero this week is Steve Bannon. He did a 60-minute interview with Charlie Rose and did an excellent job of smacking Charlie Rose around, who well deserved to be smacked even much worse than Bannon did. One of my favorite quotes, we're going to put up his quote du jour. Why pick fights with the Russian? $1 trillion to upgrade the nuclear arsenal? Is that where you want to spend your money? It's great because, you know, now that he's been in the system, he has a much better understanding of, you know, how it squeezes through in the sausage factory. But I want to give a big shout out to Senator Rand Paul. The Senate voted Wednesday 2-1 against his amendment. He has worked really hard to put an amendment into the defense authorization bill that would have ended the current authorization for use of military within 6 months and forced Congress to vote on authorizing wars. How remarkable. I mean, essentially what we did after 9/11 is we created a legal justification for U.S. military to engage in the global war on terror, which means they can go anywhere at any time under, you know, sort of a broad and I would say unconstitutional authority. And Paul's trying to bring it back and do what Cynthia Kinney recommended, which is force Congress to take responsibility to approve each, you know, sort of each war in the entire war on everybody globally. Of course, this is related to the dollar as reserve currency, but kudos for Senator Rand Paul. I tweeted out his announcement and said, this is only the first round. Keep trying. Let's go to the movies. I went to see Christopher Nolan's new blockbuster film, Dunkirk, about the British people sailing across the English Channel to save the British Army from annihilation when the British Navy was not in position to get the job done fast enough. And it really is about the role of hope and hopelessness. One of my favorite quotes you hear me use a lot is from John Rappaport. He used it at the Secret Space Program 2014 speech, an unbelievable speech if you haven't watched it. And he says, hopelessness is an op, and it's planet-wide. And I see all sorts of people falling into it. Oh, it's hopeless. Nothing will ever happen. You know, it's a really mind control thing, and it's disgusting. So I'm always saying, it's never hopeless. Stop it. Just stop it. But the great line from Dunkirk is hopelessness. Hope is a weapon, not hopelessness is a weapon. Hope is a weapon. I keep tweeting out to various people who are using, when we each do what we can, a mighty army arises. And you really see that in Dunkirk. You see what happens when each person does what they can, and that process pulls together, a mighty army arises. Our interview tonight is with Christopher Mann, who is a quietly leading anthroposophist based now in Wisconsin. He is British. His wife was Swiss. And these two very remarkable people came to America in the 80s and started the Michael Fields Institute to preserve and promote biodynamic farming in the United States. And this was an unbelievably difficult, challenging effort to basically, in the face of the industrialization of the entire agriculture system and the entwining it with the stock market in a very top-down, controlling way, of course, in the introduction of GMOs, Chris and his team have sat there in East Troy, Wisconsin, where Michael Fields is located, and really refused to give up on promoting biodynamic farming and fresh, healthy food, and the importance of soil and how to rebuild soil. And it's been a remarkable accomplishment to do this in the face of these headwinds. And Harry Blaser, when he went up to Michael Fields to interview Dave Andrews, the former executive director, and Angela Curtis on soil and the future of farming, took the time to sit down with Chris and do a series of basically legacy in interviews about his life and insights. And they're really remarkable. They're very much like the interviews Harry did with Francois Vecchio. And when I listen to these, They're so inspiring. You just end it up and you say, wow, you know, we can understand things. We can make things happen. They're very, very inspiring. And they're the kind of things, because it's a lot of stuff. It's 4 hours. And in fact, the number 3, part 3 video audio didn't come out very well, so we only have a transcript. But these are the kinds of things you can listen to on a long drive, and they're really inspiring. And Chris Mann is a person who's inspired me a lot. He's inspired thousands and thousands of people. And his institute has inspired thousands and thousands of people. And keeping biodynamic farming alive, particularly the part about enriching the soil, is very, very important. And Chris and his wife, Martina, has made an incredible, incredible contribution to doing that. So Chris Mann, The Legacy Interviews, Harry Blaser's done us a remarkable service by getting these on audio and transcription, and I want to thank him again for it. So please enjoy those. Ask Catherine. Number one is, you know, Stanley Fisher is stepping down as vice chairman of the Fed on October 13, 2017. If you were Las Vegas odds maker, what would the odds be that Mr. Fisher's replacement is Neil Kashkari? Ooh, gruesome. Talk about a man who knows how to give away other people's money for free. Interesting day, October 13th, 2017. It's the 100th anniversary of Fatima. Plus, on October 13th, 1307, the last Grand Master of the Knights Templar was arrested. The reason Friday the 13th is considered a superstitious day is because it was the day that the Vatican and the French king went after the Templars. So, and that was October 13, 1307. Is it interesting that Fisher resigned as of that date? Yes, it's very interesting. Second question is, new adjustments. They're referring to the DOD and HUD undocumentable adjustments. By the way, I often send folks to your site for info remissing money. They're unlikely to do a search to find it. I suggest a permanent link to the doc of missing money on homepage. Okay, that's a great idea. We'll do it. And then he sent a link to a State Department report that judges the fiscal responsibility of the finances of other national governments. And you look at it and you think, you know, talk about hubris. It's unbelievable. I should probably write and say something to the State Department. They should look at their own government. Number three, Dr. McCullough brought to my attention InPower Group starting to get rid of smart meter technology. The procedure uses the contract to assign liability. They asked me what I think of it. I've posted it. I have been looking for attorneys to discuss it with. Conceptually, it looks like it has potential, but I don't know enough to really dig down. But I think it's very interesting. I think it has potential because ultimately, if we're gonna have accountability and responsibility, we need individual responsibility. Number five, Catherine, thank you for your most excellent prayer. They're referring to the prayer for 9/11. It leads us in the path of restoration, a dynamic that will become more and more appreciated. The past and the way it was can never be restored. What shines as the central thread of that dynamic is a restoration of faith. Faith is a vertical dynamic between each person and their idea or ideal of divinity. The horizontal equivalent is trust. So may we all restore trust in our relations with ourselves, each other, our government, and our communities. That last is important, too. Trust in place allows us to feel safety and all that is built upon it. Wow. That's excellent insight. I couldn't agree with you more. One of my favorite scriptures is, faith is the substance of things hoped for but not yet seen. So it's the, as T.D. Jakes would say, it's the ingredient, it's the building block that you use to build the cathedral. Question number six. Hi, Catherine. For years, you said that the strength of the dollar is dependent upon the strength of our military's ability to enforce its value worldwide. Strong military equals strong dollar. We have recently 2 500-plus-foot-long Navy destroyers rammed on the high sea by slow-moving freighters, and those Navy ships are equipped with supposedly the most sophisticated radar detection systems on the planet, yet 2 destroyers are both rammed amidship. Also, the dollar has been steadily declining since January. Our military systems are being publicly compromised, and is this a signal that we can no longer enforce the value of the dollar? So you see a correlation? Have our military systems been compromised, and is this how the dollar will finally decline? wondering if China has the key to our military technology. Something fishy is definitely going on here. Would appreciate your thoughts. I think these stories are very, very important and deeply dangerous for the U.S. brand and the dollar. And yes, I think they're connected to the fall in the dollar. So I'm going to be discussing these stories in depth in the third quarter wrap-up, News Trends and Stories with Joseph. I've chosen this story as one of the top three stories of the third quarter. So you and I could not agree with more, and I think it's a very good, important insight that you've given us. Number seven, please give Catherine a heads up. I'm forwarding this to ask, what questions should I be asking and how to engage the conversation to wake up the audience? It's someone writing in for advice on asking their leadership at the equivalent of a town hall meeting, and I sent some questions on the missing money and Section 1 of the Constitution that includes the appropriation clause. And I can't compliment you enough for being willing to engage with your leadership. We all have to start talking to our state legislators, our local municipal leaders, our congressmen and senators about the money going missing and how we shut off. I mean, we're financing all of the bad activities by allowing essentially the federal credit to be run outside the law. And, you know, as long as they can finance, it's like kids, you know, who are bad, as long as they keep getting their allowance, they're going to keep being bad. So, you know, if you keep feeding them and giving their allowance, they can steal as much money as they want out of your pocketbook. They're going to be bad. So you got to cut off the money. Question number eight. Dear Catherine and Dr. Farrell, in my email to you of yesterday, I admitted a conclusion that cannot be avoided. When free money is being handed out just to keep the jobless alive and the workforce is being replaced more and more by robotics and AI, the people will inevitably begin to despair over truly being useless eaters. This state of mind prepares them for beginning to accept, however unwillingly, that overpopulation is indeed a problem, and they as the population are that problem without the dignity of meaningful work and weighed down by dependency on charity to live. How many may begin to quietly accept that the need is obvious for a drastic reduction in global population? How many will be so disheartened as to offer less or no resistance to accepting their removal for the benefit of the planet, etc.? This unthinkable conclusion seems obvious to me now. It fits perfectly with the overall drive of the global masters to fulfill their agenda and reduce the population to a manageable 500 million. They have to weaken the will to live. Here's the thing. I don't believe in prophecy or fear porn, let alone a combination. So you got to stop sending me this stuff. You keep inventing a future in your speculations that's different than the one I'm inventing. And I'm going to use all my energy to promote a human culture, and I don't need to spend any time thinking about an inhuman culture because it's only going to happen over my dead body. I won't be here, so I may go out with a big bang. Okay, closing. Next week, September 21st, Bush, Cheney, and 9/11 with David Ray Griffin, very distinguished theologian, who's done a remarkable job of bringing insight and attention to 9/11, arguably the most credible voice on the world stage on 9/11. I've just finished reading his book, and I very much look forward to this discussion. This is it's quite remarkable. And if you look at how 9/11 has been able to justify shredding the Constitution and engaging globally in wars completely in violation of international law, you know, 9/11 was the lawlessness began with the assassination of Kennedy, but it really went out of control with 9/11. And if you want to understand how horribly dangerous the neocons are, Dr. Griffin does a outstanding job. September 29th, the missing money, 18 trillion in undocumentable adjustments and counting with the wonderful Dr. Mark Skidmore from Michigan State University. That's another blockbuster. You do not want to miss that one. And then we're really going to roll into it. October 5th and 12th, News Trends and Stories with Dr. Joseph Farrell. There is so much to talk about that I am personally getting in my car and driving out to see Joseph because we have to talk about that. We have to chew over this in person. And, of course, he's on pins and needles waiting for his fantastic organ. And the fact that you were all willing to finance that proves that anything can happen. Hope is a weapon. And it's really funny. Our first match donor started when Joseph, you know, had enough hope to go out and buy Organ Master shoes. And they said, you know, if Joseph can have that kind of crazy, you know, wild hope, then we can back this. So hope is a weapon. Remember that. Ladies and gentlemen, Please don't worry about whether or not there is a conspiracy. If you're not in a conspiracy, you need to start one. Good night and good luck.